disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I trust that you're all well and blessed in the Lord. And before we start, let's just commit our time before the Lord so that our hearts can be prepared for the seed of God's word. Heavenly Father, we thank you that this is the day you've made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And Lord, we thank you that you have manna today that you want us to partake of. You want to impart more of the life of Jesus Christ into our heart and spirit. Father, enable us to not only hear today, but to mix faith with that which we hear. That, Lord, we're able to act upon your word. Father, it is our desire to glorify you, to lift that name, the only name, the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for your mercy and grace that has brought us this day together in fellowship and unity. And we thank you now for the blood of the Lamb over this meeting, over the connection, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I would like to share with you, just to really exhort and encourage in these times that we live in, which is not very easy. There's a huge amount going on. The news gets worse. We're in a spiritual battle, and the enemy is out to try and destroy the overcomers who are pressing in beyond the veil into the very presence of God. For God, as we know, is preparing sons in these last days who are going to grow and mature to that level of faith, that perfection that God sees with regard to the overcomer. And therefore, in many ways, the remnant in these last days is the prime attack of the powers of darkness. And he, of course, uses many things in which to create this despondency and this apathy. And indeed, the enemy, as we look in church history over the centuries, has worked in this way to try, through despondency, to get God's people to compromise, to go back, and so on. But praise God, we're going to be encouraged today, and I have a title which we're going to talk about, and that is Remember How You Received and Heard. Remember how you received and heard. And of course, we're going to base this from the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 3, and we're going to look verses 1 through to 6, but I'm going to hone in primarily on verse 3. This is speaking to the church Sardis, and we'll take this up from verse 1, Revelation chapter 3, and it says, "And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. Therefore, I will not watch. I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Well, our title today is Remember How You Received and Heard. And he's writing this to the church in Sardis, and he's saying to this church that, and to the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Now it's very interesting, as we open up with this, that there's a great emphasis here on seven, the number seven. And I wonder why. I wonder why this is applicable to a church that's just got a few. Everything around is dead spiritually, but in those conditions, there is a remnant that is still alive. Does that sound fairly familiar to your life, to your walk? Does it sound familiar that there seems to be so few who want to walk with you, who want to press on deeper with God? It's a very lonely existence at times, and yet God is faithful. And it's interesting with this number seven, because he uses 735 times, of which 54 times is found, that is the book, is number seven alone in the book of Revelation. In fact, we're told that number seven is the foundation of God's word, which is interesting. And we know that this number seven means completeness or perfection. And what we don't understand is that in light of Scripture, this means a perfection, a completeness in the church, in your life, using these numbers, both physical and spiritual. And hold on to that, because that is the key. It derives much from God's creation of all things. And so it goes on. But one can make studies about that yourself, because it's very interesting to see the number seven coming up over and over again. And here it is referred to with the church at Sardis. These things says he who has the seven spirits of God, the seven stars, I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. And it is to the seven churches at Asia Minor. And he says, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. In other words, he is working with our faith. Our faith must come to completion, or in other words, perfection. Be perfect even as your heavenly Father is perfect. And we know by this understanding of perfection, it means that you allow the Holy Spirit to complete that work in your life and in the church which he has started. In other words, that work which he hath begun, he will complete at the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, which he says in your word. So the overcomers are chosen, are separated, set apart for the completeness of God's work to be done in the final days that we live in before judgment finally falls. We need to understand the mind and the wisdom of God in his dealings with our life, both individually and corporately. And I think, sadly, we're listening too much to the devil's lies and deceptions. And he will get you to compromise. He will get you to sit on the fence. He will work that spiritual depression very, very subtly. Because that's what's going on here. And we hone in to the third verse is what I really want to talk about today. Because he says, remember therefore how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. That is one of the most important verses in the New Testament for the overcomer at this present time that we find ourselves in. And I want each of you to go away after you hear this teaching and meditate on this, and pray and intercede. For this is very serious, this verse, and particularly to Full Gospel Assembly. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Are we remembering how we received, how we heard? Are we remembering when God gave us the deeper life teaching, showed us, challenged us that we are and we can walk totally by faith in these last days? Do we remember this, or have we lost sight because things have changed? We've no longer got certain saints or teachers that used to be around that are gone or with the Lord. That's got nothing to do with it. That is time. Time evolves. But God's word, we're told, never changes. And God never makes a mistake over our lives. And yet I'm not sure we're all convinced about that. We are questioning God's mind, wisdom over our lives. Because we become inward looking. We lose sight of the cross. We lose sight of Christ in us, the hope of glory. And we allow those circumstances, those trials, and all those various things to cause us to become inward looking. And we no longer then can discern. And we certainly no longer can be watchful. You cannot be watchful when your eyes are looking to yourself, your circumstances, your needs, your wants. Because all of that is held by fear and unbelief, which is exactly what the enemy wants. But we trust today that our teaching is going to be that great deliverance in our lives, because he's so faithful. But we find ourselves, don't we, in weakness, in despondency and confusion. And yet we're told here, in all of those conditions, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. So he's going to deal, if we let him, and if we want to be watchful, then he's going to deal with those things that can have need of dying. Now, the only way that we die is to die daily, that the life of Christ may be manifested yet more and more through us. And what it means is dying out to those things that we're still listening to, that we're still spending time to, the things of the flesh, those things that still hinder us and hinder our time, which indeed is a gift of God. That is what he's saying here. Have we been tempted to compromise on the faith? Are we tempted to compromise on the areas of truth and the revelation of what we've been receiving of the deeper life over the years? Are we tempted to compromise? This is what he's talking about. Are we compromising on discipleship, some of the basics of the deeper life? Are we compromising on commitments? Our commitment to Christ, our commitment to the body, our commitment to each other as the house of God. Are we compromising on that? Are we compromising in those weaknesses, in those spiritual developments, as we're maturing into sons and daughters of God? Are we compromising? Are we stopping the Holy Spirit from causing me to grow up, to mature in the faith? We can do it so easily. Am I compromising in prayer, in the study of the Word of God, praying over that Word in prayer and praying with brothers and sisters? Or is my life now as a Christian only here online? These are things that you have to be honest and open before God. We have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We've got to believe that that cross that we too are to take up daily and follow is dealing with these areas, is dealing with this criticism, the tongue that sins. We have to be watchful in this, because he says, be watchful and repent. Allowing the Holy Spirit, as he gives us the gift of repentance, to get clean, to come clean before him, to allow him to do that work, so that in our repentance, in the cleansing blood of the Lamb, it keeps us in the presence of Almighty God. But not only in his presence, but it enables us to be spiritually sensitive. That is essential. Or have we allowed ourselves to become hardened? Because we're not remembering how we once heard this message. That's the question. So in verse 3, he then says, remember. There's the word, very important. That's what we're talking about this morning. Remembering, we're going back over some things. And that is not a bad thing. To see where God has brought us out from. So he says, remember therefore how you have received and heard. And don't let it go. Don't let the deeper life teaching go. I would encourage you to get back in the deeper life book. I've been looking at it just recently. And it is alive. It's applicable for today. It is still the message of today now. And it is amazing how God just quickens these things as you look at it. You meditate and you read over these things. And what do you find as you look at it? You find yourself beginning to repent. I'm not as diligent as I used to be. I'm not a man or a woman of prayer that I once used to be. I don't have that simple childlike faith that I once used to have. There it is. Because he's getting you to receive those things that you heard from the beginning. But he says, if you won't do this, I will come upon you like a thief. He says, in other words, if you will not watch. What does he mean by this, to watch? Well, it means that this very teaching, this very encouragement and admonition is causing you to watch. To watch over your garments. To watch spiritually. To watch for the coming of the Lord. That is what it means here. We know from the parable of the 10 virgins, the 5 wise virgins are watchful. Even in these conditions, there is something about them. There's an unction about them that won't give up. Even though they may be battling, even though they may be weak, even though it may seem as though things have gone so contrary to what I thought, yet something within them still keeps them watching and waiting and looking for the Lord Jesus Christ and his coming. Because we are in dead times. This is fundamentally a dead church. Does it sound familiar? There's so much around us that they call Christian, which is actually dead. The Holy Spirit is not present. They're all doing their own thing. They're all wanting to worship God on their own terms, their own conditions. They're preaching another gospel. And they don't want to embrace the sovereignty of God. Why, indeed, we all of us at times have raised that question, who can be saved? It's impossible. And God's made it impossible. God has done that. God has made it a narrow way into the kingdom. He's done it deliberately for the purpose of his glory. Because your life, my life, is a work of grace and mercy. That's why he does it. And don't ever try and work that one out, because you never will. But I thank God he's given me ears and a heart to be able to hear. So this verse, I think we have to face the truth. How little the word at times is sown into our hearts. I think that is something that we just have to come clean and honest with. We know it. When a trial comes and a test comes, we know it with regard to our faith, where we are, whether we're running to the arm of the flesh to man or we're trusting God. And that is telling you, that is a clear sign of whether the word of God is really being sown in your heart or not. They're the tests. Now, do we become offended? Do we become hurt? Do we fall out with God or fall out with the preacher? No. If we're truly hearing and we're watchful and we repent, we say, Lord, have mercy on me, that the word I've been listening to over the years, this meat of the word, has not always been sown into my heart as it should be. Have mercy. I don't think God would turn his ears on such a repentance, on such a confession. And yet all the while he delays his coming, we have hope. Let's turn to James, the book of James, chapter 1, verse 22. You know this very well, and I give no apology for reading this out, but here he says, in verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. We are at times deceiving ourselves. We think we've got our act together. And when a trial comes along, then it reveals whether we are deceiving ourselves or not. Because we will do what is in our hearts. We will act upon what is in our hearts. And that is what God wants to deliver us from. The deception, the deceiving spirit that thinks the word of God is being sown in our hearts when in actual fact it isn't. It's being snatched, taken away. And you know that parable, and that's why I use it so often, because it's one of the greatest parables Jesus gave. And it is spoken to every generation of believers, right down through history. And so it clearly tells us, James tells us here, it's so easy to become a spectator, just listening to sermons. We can be just spectators today, listening to a sermon, another sermon. Or this, what we're hearing, can be turned into life in our hearts. We have an option. We have a choice. How we listen. How we view such a meeting like this today. Remember the title this morning? Remember how you received and heard. This is what we're talking about from the book of Revelation, the church at Sardis. So he says, remember therefore how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. This is serious, brothers and sisters, because this is indicating if we don't get this right, we are not going to be caught away when the Lord Jesus appears in the heavens. In other words, the rapture. We won't be caught away, because this is what it's saying here. But he goes on, he says, you have a few names, even in Sardis, who've not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. In other words, they will walk with the Lord. They will follow the Lord. They're in white. White speaks of purity. White speaks of marriage, the garments, the bridal gown. And they will be with me. They will walk with me. They will minister with me. This is why we know that in the millennium, when the Lord Jesus comes to set up that 1,000-year reign, he will come with his saints, the overcomers, who will minister with him. Why? Because they've been found worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I would not blot out his name from the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before the angels. He that has a ear, let him hear. And that's what it is about. Are we hearing today? Or is it just another sermon, another meeting, another Sunday? This could be the last teaching that you will hear today. This may be the last meeting that we could have. This could be the teaching that will determine your life, your future in eternity. We do not know, because we walk by faith and not by sight. But it's so easy just to become a spectator. What does 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1? Here is a warning of these last days. Very applicable. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. I'll read a few verses here. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter time some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. It works subtly how this does, speaking lies in hypocrisy. In other words, believing those lies. What we just said back in James, those that are not doers of the word deceive themselves. You can quote the scriptures. You can find them in the Bible, but you can still deceive yourself. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Forbidding to marry, commanded to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. In other words, they know the truth, but they're talking about these silly New Age things. That's what we have to watch against, the spirit of New Age. It's subtle. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Why we've got all these phobias over food is because we're not thanksgiving. We're not thankful. We don't thank God for our food. We don't have that gratefulness in our hearts that every time I sit to a table, God has fed me and will feed me. We take it all for granted. We're also spoiled when we go into our supermarkets and we see all these different brands, and there are about 20 of the same food products that you can buy. And it goes on and on and on and on and on. I'll never forget my first visit to India when I came back. And I went into the supermarket. I just couldn't believe how spoiled we are in the West. Ungrateful. We don't believe anymore. It's not until all of that starts to disappear then we begin to see things in a different light. That's what he's speaking about, the great apostasy. That's what's happening now in these last days. And we can take on these doctrines of demons so easy because it sounds convincing, it sounds logical. Medical science has made all these tests and come up with the fact that you mustn't have salt. The Lord's been telling me just recently, I need a bit more salt in my diet because I've been getting a lot of cramp. And that's one of the signs. So your body even tells you certain things. We need to be on our guard. God makes no mistake over us. He loves us as a heavenly Father does. He clothes us, he feeds us, he protects us, he looks after us. He loves us. And that's what we're not convinced about yet. He will preserve our going out and our coming in. He will keep us from the evil one. He will keep sickness at bay if we can believe all of these things. I want to give a testimony of God's faithfulness. I was coming back yesterday from where I'd been teaching at the college last week, and I found myself on my journey starting to go in tongues, almost like warfare. And this went on for about 20 minutes, 25 minutes as I was driving on the motorway. And then it lifted. And 5 minutes later, something very hard hit my window screen on the motorway. And it should have shattered, but it didn't. Barely any mark. And it made such a noise, such a bang. That was the Lord preparing that warfare that I didn't understand, but I obeyed the Holy Spirit. That was God's protection over me, over that car. Because God loves us. And we must remember this. Never lose sight of the Father's love for us. Yes, sometimes it can seem consuming. Sometimes it seems as though others are having such a good time, or being so blessed, and look at me, what I'm going through. God doesn't get it wrong over our lives. what may be permissible with some or your brother or sister is not with you. God knows us better than we even know ourselves. But the question we're talking about is, are you going to be a spectator, sitting back, just watching all of this, or are you going to be a partaker of the bread of life? Here I am, Lord, use me. Are you going to be like Elisha, who would not take no for an answer, but say, wherever Elijah went, I'm coming too, and you're not turning me away? I think God is testing some in this assembly right now on this. Whether you want to give up and stay where you are now, or whether you're going to continue to move with the Lord, because you are going to stay with that which you received at the beginning. That's the challenge. And what does verse 4 say? You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. In other words, they're holding on to purity. They want their lives changed. They want to walk a holy, consecrated life. Yes, you may be struggling. You may be struggling with sin, things of the flesh. But in your heart, you want to walk that consecrated, separated life before the Lord. That's what he's looking for. And in Sardis, there were some. In this dead church, yet in that deadness, there was a remnant of few who had not defiled their garments. They were holding on, confessing, believing, holding on to what they had received from the beginning. It's like you're just about to go under. You've got barely any strength left, yet something there is still sustaining, holding you. That is the Holy Spirit. And that is why the baptism of the Spirit is so essential, that empowerment to hold us in these conditions that we find ourselves in. And so verse 4 calls us to repent. You watch over your spiritual lives, in other words. You deal with what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about. And he will, and he is. He's speaking both individually and corporately to us. And we must not harden our hearts to what he is saying, because he may never say it again. He may never say it again. You see, perfection, that completeness that we spoke about at the beginning, is dealing with the Holy Spirit's promptings. Is dealing when he speaks to us, whether it be through a preacher like today, or through circumstances, or through trials, or whatever it would be. It's not turning your ear, your heart away from when he speaks. We don't have time now in these last days. We have to be alert to everything he is saying. That is why our lives should be in the attitude of prayer, offering it back to God in prayer, intercession, letting none of this precious seed go. Don't let it fall on the wayside, because the birds out there, they will snatch it, they will take it away. The enemy's right here now with the preaching of this word, trying to snatch the seed of this word away from your life, your spirit, your heart. Are you going to let him do it? Because those that call upon the Lord shall be saved. That is the promise. That is why God has instituted prayer. for that very purpose, so that God's hand can work that in your life. But he never forces these things. Preaching and teaching of the Word of God should never be forced upon the believers. It is presented as a feast, the same as the manna of heaven was presented to the children of Israel, and they went and they collected it. And so that is how God deals with us. He presents it as that feast, that food, that spiritual food, and it's whether we eat of it or not. It's whether you come today with a thimble full of faith, or you have collected the biggest bucket you can find to fill it up full to overflowing. It's how much you hunger. And I think we have lost a bit of that hunger that we once had, because we're no longer, as it says here, remembering from that from which we've come. Be watchful and strengthen those things which remain that are ready to die. Because he says at the moment, I've not found your works perfect before God. In other words, our faith being perfected. And he says, remember those things that you received, that you heard. Don't let it go. Hold fast. Let the deeper life teaching continue to bring that repentance, that bowing of the knee, that healing, that deliverance, that wholeness in mind, body, and spirit. That is what the gospel, the teaching of God's word is to the whole man, his mind, his body, his spirit. That is the nature of the deeper life teaching. And he says, hold fast to what you heard, repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. Nobody wants to miss out when the Lord Jesus comes in the air to call his bride to himself. Nobody wants to miss out on that. Who wants to be left on the earth to go through the great tribulation? The great purging. Nobody wants to be left in that day. It will be horrendous. The greatest judgment that will ever fall upon the earth before God brings in the millennial reign. Nobody wants to be left. He is offering a way of escape. This is why I remind you as I close that the deeper life teaching is this spiritual ark that is being prepared, that is being made. And they mock and they laugh and they ridicule. But one day it will be seen, the wisdom and mind of God, as his church, the true church of Jesus Christ, the bride of Christ, is raised up above the spiritual deluge that will come on the earth. Only 8 souls responded in those days. How many in these last days will respond? Who will do what God has asked here in this dead church? All he has asked is repent. Listen to what he says. Go back to what you received, you heard, because the message doesn't change. God doesn't change. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Everything else in life is changing all the time. People want a different change. People are fed up with the same old thing. God doesn't work that way. God brings us back to what he first gave us. What God is doing today is showing that he loves us, that he has made no mistake, that he is in complete control. Stop looking to the circumstances and cause your eyes and your heart and your whole being to look back to him, to his word. And let him continue that work that he has begun in our lives. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the healing and the deliverance that you have bestowed through it. Help us, Father, to embrace, to come back to our first love. Help us not to listen to the lies of the enemy. Forgive us, Father, that we can become so inward-looking that we lose sight of the kingdom of God. Father, forgive us that we can be so casual, lazy in listening to the word of God, coming to these meetings, hearing this precious manna that you give to us week after week. Forgive us, Lord. We're spoilt. We're like spoilt children. But Father, when we go through difficult times, we then realise, Father, how stupid that we have been. Give us that wisdom, that guidance, that knowledge, not to make these mistakes that so many do. To be grateful and thankful for what we receive each week. We have done nothing, Lord, to deserve any of this. It is by your grace and your love and your mercy, because you first loved us. It wasn't even in us to pursue you or seek you. We were so consumed in our own lives and our own future and destiny. Thank God that you stopped us in our tracks. You've turned us around. You have made us a new creation in Christ Jesus. That the old has passed away, that we now receive the new life. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who has come to create that new life in us, because Jesus was obedient unto death. The cross says it all. May none of us lose sight of the cross. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the deliverance in our minds and our heart and our spirit. Thank you, Father, that you are always one step ahead from the powers of darkness. We know the enemy is there to try and destroy, to trip us up, to deceive us. But you have come to give us life in abundance. And so, Lord, I pray you'll be with us through this week. You will ever preserve and keep each of us. Be with us when we go out and when we come in. Keep us from the evil one, from temptations. And above all, keep us from ourselves, we ask, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Disaster. Let him in constancy follow.